You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's that time again, time for another episode of your favorite pop and geek culture discussion show, Nerd Overload. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news for you, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out.
Do we just want to start with
Zelda?
Let's
just start with Zelda, because that's all we've all been doing.
That's what we've all been doing. All of us. You, me, everybody.
Everybody has been playing the new
Samantha,
Zelda game.
She was here.
Yeah. God, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's such a good game.
It is.
I mean, we went into it a bit last week, but I've definitely put some extra time into it, and I have some pretty, I have some good opinions. It's good.
I still have barely accomplished anything.
Oh, yeah?
It's easy to do that.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, all I really do is I roam around, and then I waste arrows on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's been one of my major problems, is I keep running out of arrows.
I just zip back to Kakariko Village and I buy out all their arrows.
Yeah, yeah. I buy, anytime I see Beetle, I buy arrows from him.
Oh, same here. Yeah.
This is real exciting radio talk about arrows.
Yeah, I know, right? No, it's the game continues to be beautiful. The story, once you start digging into it, is really interesting. I love the flashbacks.
Yeah, I did inadvertently run into one by accident. I wasn't even looking for it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I found the horse fountain or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still need to find that one.
Yeah, it's up in a big grassy plateau in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how this game doles out story points, basically, is you find these locations where it triggers a flashback in Link's mind, mm-hmm. and you get a little bit of a drip-fed story that way. I think it works.
I think it works a lot, really well, and I love the different personalities of the original, like, four champions.
Yeah, they're all really great.
Mm-hmm. And not everyone's, like, all chummy, hey, we're best buddies because we're going to save the world kind of situation. Like, the bird person actively doesn't like Link.
Oh, he's a jerk.
He is a real jerk.
I mean, is he Falco?
Yeah, he's Falco. He's 100% yeah. Falco from Star Fox.
Yeah.
But...
And if we're comparing people, the Gerudo lady is Wonder Woman. She's just Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
she is.
She's Desert Tribe Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Which means she's totally awesome.
Yes, she's probably one of the best.
Yeah, she's my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
The internet's taken a particular shine to Shark Boy.
Yeah,
the Prince of the Zora.
Prince Sidon, yeah. Well, it doesn't help that they keep using that, like, flexing with the teeth gleam.
Yeah.
Smile, like, oh my pose God. Every time he talks. Yeah.
Elswick sent me a meme about him.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's taken on a bizarre fandom.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The game's so good. Like, it's a Zelda, but sometimes it doesn't feel like Zelda in a way.
Yes and no.
It's like Skyrim, if Skyrim had a setting that I gave half a care about.
Oh, yeah.
And where the people were all hideously ugly.
Yeah, and all had the same voice actor.
Yeah.
I mean, Skyrim, as much as I like Skyrim and everything and the aesthetic, the voice pool is not very big.
No. That's like a running thing for Elder Scrolls mm-hmm. games, really.
This is true.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I spent like, I don't know, probably like 20 or 30 minutes yesterday just cooking food.
Yeah, you have to do that. Yeah, you'll do that.
That's something else I waste arrows on, killing livestock.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely like a real survivalist kind of theme to this game, mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. Have you guys put together the town, Terrytown?
No.
Okay. In these kind of games, one of my favorite mechanics is the town building, where you start with a plot of nothing and there ends up being like a special town by the end.
Like Dragon Quest 7.
Yeah. So it's one of the longer like fetch quests kind of things, because you end up having to go to one of each of the different major cities and finding people of each of the races that have part of their last name be Sun, because they're part of the Bolson Construction Company or whatever. And each time you do, the town gets bigger and bigger, and you end up building a special shop.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
It's the way you can get the Hylian Shield before going into the castle.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I found a Night Shield yesterday.
Yeah, nice. Those are really good.
Those are good.
I use those almost exclusively.
I've You know, I've noticed that I don't break my shields nearly as often as I do anything else.
Well, half the time I'm not even using a shield. I've got two-handed weapons out the wazoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Either halberds or spears.
Yeah. I'll break a shield shield surfing before I do anything.
I've yet to shield surf.
I didn't know how to do it for the longest time until I finally figured it out.
Yeah. There's actually a mini quest up in the snow mountains where you like shield slide down the mountain and get different shields based on how well you do.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. I saw a dragon yesterday.
Yeah, you'll have that.
And I was like, it was just random. Like it was dark, it was raining, and I was just kind of just scanning looking for probably shrines or
whatever. Were you like in Lake Hylia?
No.
That's where I saw one.
No. I was near the coast where the Jarl, like Larkfin villages or whatever it is. It's down near the...
I don't even know where that is.
It's kind of down to the south.
This is how big this game is.
Yeah, it's huge.
You're saying things that I've not even seen and I've played it
for like a billion hours. It was kind of near where the second village you go to, the Hanato or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
It's kind of near that, and you go west a bit.
Okay.
Or more, actually, probably more south. Yeah, it's kind of south a bit.
Is it like a jungle town or like a beach town?
Yeah, it's a beach town. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of near there, but I was like above it, like in the cliffs. Mm-hmm. There was like a big plain, and I was just happened to looking out, and I saw something big and yellow moving, and I kind of looked.
Yeah.
And I used to see this big yellow, and I knew it was a dragon because I'd already seen one during a quest.
Yeah. Yeah, there's three of them.
I tried to fight it, but I couldn't hit it with any arrows. It's too far away.
Well, there's actually you actually can't fight it.
Oh.
It won't fight back, but that's how you get a certain kind of... by hitting it with an arrow, you actually break off a piece of its scale, and that's how you get a specific kind of item that you have to use for different things.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I did the one up in the mountains, and mm-hmm. I broke the corruption on the one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got that ice lance or whatever.
Mm. Yep.
I ran into a tower that absolutely sucks to try to climb. It's, I can't remember the name of it. It's like Ridgeland Tower or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's surrounded by water.
Uh-huh.
And there's a bunch of like mushrooms of varying heights within the water to kind of give you a walking like platform.
Sure.
But it's full of the lizard guys
mm-hmm.
and the lightning wizro guys.
Yeah.
So, geez, it sucks.
Well, I used one of the special abilities beating one of the bosses and just got up there super quick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The bird guy gives you a super jump.
Oh, okay.
Unlimited use super jump.
Yeah, that's another thing mm-hmm. that made me wish I would have did his thing first.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're supposed to. I don't know.
That's what I did. I went water, bird guy, Gorons, and then I'm to the last boss.
So you're doing the Garuda stuff?
Yeah. I did Zora, Gerudo, Goron, bird.
Mm-hmm.
The Gerudo one's probably my favorite. I don't know. I'm really into the Gerudos, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Death by Snoo Snoo.
Yeah.
I found a luchador mask in the game.
Nice.
So I've been rocking the, yeah, it's the, like a glow skull, like costume.
Oh, yeah. I know where that is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the mask is just a luchador mask with a glowing skull on it. It's super great, and that's all I wear.
I was doing this quest for a girl at a stable down in the jungle area.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how the stable keeps getting hit by lightning and she didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
So I climbed the cliffs and glided to the top of the stable.
Mm-hmm.
There was an axe sticking out of the horse head. And it's just a normal axe.
Yeah.
But when you get back down to her, she gives you what's called the rubber helmet.
Oh, nice.
And it gives you a resistance to electricity.
Cool.
Just goofy crap like that.
The game has quite a bit of comedy. It has quite a bit of heart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it has a good sense of humor.
Like, the main story is very serious, but once you get outside that and start hitting some of the side quests, they are very funny.
They're very Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Like the one guy in the Heito village where he's like grumbling outside the inn, talking about how like he loves the innkeeper there or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still can't figure out what I'm supposed to do for that quest.
Every time
I talk to her, she just wants me to buy a bed.
You have to go around the
counter
and talk to her there.
Oh.
Then you'll get different prompts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
I like the girl that works in the shrine that Impa is in.
Paya. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
her granddaughter or whatever.
Yeah, she's adorable.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how to sneak that orb thing out of that house.
Yeah.
Because there's the pedestal like just down the road that you put that thing in.
I thought that was for like a kind of an end game quest thing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I know Impa sleep sometimes because the guards won't let you in.
Oh yeah.
Maybe if you glide over or something.
Probably.
Also, I was a little disappointed. Like, I did a quest for the chicken guy.
Oh yeah.
In Kakariko Village.
Yeah, I did that too. It wasn't worth it.
Yeah. Like he being this master archer guy, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get a nice bow. Didn't get jack squat.
No, they put that in just because it was in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
There's always a chicken guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, if this discussion, you know, if for someone who hasn't played the game, this discussion makes no sense. We're just saying words, but it just kind of goes to show how good of a game Zelda is because we're able to just kind of go and ramble off and just go from one thing to another and not stop.
Yeah.
And not stop, you know.
It's a must play.
It is.
Seriously is.
It really is.
Definitely on a system that only has about, you know, 10 games out right now.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
We can play it on Wii U too.
Yeah. Oh, true. True.
One of those. Nobody does. But speaking of Switch games, I played through Blaster Master Zero, which is one of the new eShop titles you can get.
Oh, yeah. Is it good?
It's very good. It's very much the same as the original NES Blaster Master. I mean, it has the same pixel graphics, and it's just very much tuned to be less impossible.
Oh, cool.
And they added like an actual legitimate story beyond boy chasing down his frog in a tank.
Okay.
The two game types of gameplay that mix together work really well. The game's normally like when you're in the tank, it's very Metroid Vania-y, where you go around and go to places you couldn't before after you get power-ups type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the other gameplay is when you go in cave, you get out of the tank, and you can go in caves, and then it turns into a top-down shooter.
Oh, okay.
And the mechanics to that are pretty fun. It's got a power-up system kind of like Cave Story, where you pick up pickups that power up your gun to different levels.
And it does
different things. I mean, it's really good, and it's only $10 in the eShop, so if you need something to play on your Zelda downtime.
You mean there are other games on my Zelda box?
Yeah, yes, there are.
Oh.
I would highly recommend it. It's a good time, especially if you bounce back between that and Shovel Knight. They're very similarly retro throwback kind of games.
Very cool. Now, I haven't downloaded them yet, but I saw Neo Geo put a couple of games up on the eShop as well.
A couple? They put like a whole big handful.
Yeah. And I can tell you guys from past experience, pick up King of Fighters and the World Heroes Perfect Fighting Games. I've played those before. They're very good.
That's good to know.
I could recommend Metal Slug because it's on there, and Metal Slug is always good.
Yeah.
It's Metal Slug 3, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best one.
I don't know. I've played a bunch of the Metal Slug games. I just don't remember which ones.
They all roll together. I had the collection for Wii, so.
Oh, man, I remember that.
Metal Slug's a great series.
I always enjoyed it. Fun little shooter with some comedy and some weirdness.
Cool. Really good animation.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I'm excited to see what they put on the eShop this week.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting, for sure.
Need something.
Yeah.
Well, they have an indie game lined up for every week.
That's awesome.
And I don't know what it is. Hopefully it's something cool.
Yeah, here's hoping. I can talk about a comic I read real quick.
Ooh.
You know, I've been picking up the Power Rangers ongoing by Kyle Higgins, and it's gotten really good. It's actually taken a really interesting turn that I don't think the show would ever do. Tommy and Billy are trapped in a alternate dimension, like a parallel Earth where Tommy had the bad end and willingly joined up with Rita after he broke out of the mind control from Green with Evil and became a hybrid green and white ranger called Lord Drakon.
I think I saw a picture of that.
Yeah, it's super cool. And like the world is blown up and like Rita came down and like started enslaving the Earth and people kind of went like, oh, well, she's helping, right? You guys? And then it turned into a police state with Mammoth Ranger paratroopers, like paramilitary like troopers and stuff.
Huh.
And they actually had a big, huge double page spread of a fight scene. And it included the Aquatar, the Ninja Rangers suits, and VRV Master or the Phantom Ranger.
Oh, okay.
From Turbo. Like, with and Lord and like Rita and Drakon and the pumpkin wrapper.
Oh wow.
Yeah, no, there's a podcast called Ranger Danger. They do a weekly recap of episodes of old Power Rangers and new Power Rangers, and they do episode recaps of the comic, and they talk to Kyle Higgins about it, and they he knew that they loved pumpkin wrapper because he's a pumpkin that wraps. So they threw him in the background of like a huge like invasion force. So there's this giant pumpkin wrapper in the background for them. And that's super.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
But anyway, this version of Tommy, or the main book story version of Tommy, is the Green Ranger. Hasn't interacted with the White Ranger stuff yet. Has just met this parallel Earth's version of Saba, the talking sword.
Yeah.
And they flew a version of the Falcon Zord that they have never interacted with to this point.
Oh.
Yeah. Very interesting. And the final page has Aisha from Turbo. Zio.
The second yellow?
It's either the second or third. Because when they made the jump from being kids during Alien Rangers to Zio, the second Yellow Ranger decided to leave the show. So they...
Let's see, because Aisha was the Yellow Ranger.
Aisha,
in the movie.
And then there was Tanya.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah, because Tanya was a kid in the past in Africa who somehow ended up switching timelines with Aisha. So either she lost her entire childhood or time was rewritten to where this character was always in Angel Grove. They're never really clear on that.
Thanks, Power Rangers.
Thanks, Power Rangers.
Now I know how the people who don't know Zelda, who were just sitting through that Zelda portion, felt.
Yep, exactly.
And the thing is, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's still confusing, I know. But anyway, the comic is really good. It's very well done. Also, Power Rangers Pink ended a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
that was really good.
Oh, that ending was super, super good. Like, tied into Power Rangers Zio, like, in a big, major, super big way.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it because it's that good that you need to go out and read it. Super great.
Speaking of parallel universes, I found the weirdest thing on the internet the other day.
Okay.
It's a cassette tape from somebody claiming that it comes from a parallel universe where the Beatles never broke up.
Really?
And it's basically a big complicated story for somebody's Beatles mashup mixtape.
Yeah.
But it's really cool, and like the mashups are really good. Their mashups of the Beatles is like solo projects mixed
sure.
together.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're claiming that they still had these same musical ideas, but now they're doing them as a group.
As a group instead of separate. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's an interesting take on that.
Yeah, I forget what the website is. It's like whatifthebeatleswerestilltogether.com or something like that.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's unwieldy.
The album's called Everyday Chemistry, so if you Google Beatles Everyday Chemistry, you can find it.
Okay.
But I thought it was really cool. Like, just that framing story for a mashup album is kind of cool.
That is cool.
And what if it's real? Maybe it is real.
Maybe. You never know.
I have one quick more, check it out. Other than playing, you know, the greatest adventure game of all time.
Life, yeah.
No. Life is a water temple.
I wouldn't call Zelda the greatest adventure game of all time, but you go ahead.
Well, I'm enjoying it a lot, okay?
Yeah, so, I really like
so
it. Hush.
Anyway, yeah, let's go.
I caught the first episode of the Samurai Jack limited series.
Excellent. Is it good?
Oh, yeah. It feels like we never left. Like, it just time jumped on us.
Good.
But the animation is more crisp,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the advances in technology and everything.
High def, yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's definitely more dour. You know, Jack's kind of lost his...
innocence?
His drive.
Mm.
He's kind of just there. It's 50 years later, and he can't go home.
It's 50 years later?
Yeah.
So he's 70 years old?
The effects of time travel have made it to where he is basically immortal.
Oh, interesting.
He does not age.
Interesting. Okay. So we're not going to see an old Scotsman in this.
No, we are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw a flat, quick image of the Scotsman with like white gray hair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And maybe a robo eye, I think.
Okay,
I'm not
cool.
Sure.
That seems
But yeah,
about right.
it was like a quick thing, but it was definitely the Scotsman.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the action is still on top where it was with the show. Even though it's on Adult Swim, I still haven't quite seen anything that is darker per se, other than the tone, really. Uh-huh. But all I've really seen him fight is robots.
Oh,
we haven't quite gotten into the part where he starts fighting people.
Gotcha.
Or real people, because yeah, he fought people in the show, but most of the time they looked like people, but he started cutting them and they had robot parts.
Right. Well, that's how they got around.
Yeah.
No, I saw a teaser where he's like been stabbed and he's like trailing blood across a wall.
Oh yeah, we're definitely getting into that because there is a group that like the story flashes between like two points. We're following Jack, kind of doing his thing and having like flashbacks and freakouts and whatnot of like him losing his purpose, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of women, female assassins, I'm assuming they're called the Daughters of Aku.
Okay.
And they were like raised from birth to fight Samurai Jack.
That's cool.
We haven't really got, like, it airs every Saturday at 11. So the second episode will be today.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
But I think we'll definitely get more into the, because I think the episode ends where they're leaving their keep to go after Samurai Jack. But yeah, he's got like long hair and a big old beard, and he's wearing like crazy techno future samurai armor.
Yeah, I think I saw that in a teaser as well.
Riding around on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's super cool. It's cool that he's kind of adopted kind of the techno.
I think he's had to.
Yeah, because that was a big sticking point on the first series was that he stuck out because he didn't really do the techno stuff hardly.
Yeah, all he used was like his the means he knows.
Right.
Bow staffs and just, you know, older style weapons.
Right, right.
But now he's got like, you know, guns.
Yeah.
Guns and a motorcycle that can shoot that spikes come out of the wheels and he can grind up robots with.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, it was definitely really, really good. And like the color contrast and everything was really like really on point. Like there's a point where he's like sitting in front of a campfire and he sees like his father or whatever being tortured in the past or something.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a really weird like sequence.
How are they getting around Aku's voice?
So far, we have not really seen Aku.
Gotcha.
We've heard the laugh a couple times.
That could have been taken from anywhere.
Yeah. But mostly all you really see is like a statue of Aku in the Daughters of Aku Citadel or whatever. And it's doing like the whole Buddha hands together like thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like the matron of this group or whatever kind of talks to it and talks about like, you know, the glory of you, Lord Aku, blah, 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 blah kind of thing.
I wonder if he's dead.
From what I've read, Aku is around, but he's gotten bored with being the omnipotent Lord of Earth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly he's kind of gone into, I don't know.
Seclusion?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's disappeared. He's gone somewhere.
Gotcha.
I don't know. There's been like talks online if they were going to pull in his Mako's understudy.
Oh, okay.
From when he finished off, you know, the Avatar series and came back to do Iroh's voice for Korra a couple times.
I guess that could work.
He doesn't quite sound exactly like him. But
well, you're not going.
No
to.
One will
yeah.
ever.
Yeah, yeah. Not going know? To.
But yeah, it was definitely really good. It feels like if you're going to take a nostalgic continuation of an older series, like we've been getting here a lot lately, this one feels the most genuine to the original.
Cool. That's all I was waiting to hear.
Remember when Beavis and Butthead came back there for like
and were roasting MTV shows like Teen Mom and stuff.
Yeah.
That felt like it was just the continuation of the original. Like that was really good. What happened to that? They did like 6 episodes and that was it.
Who knows?
Mike Judge decided he made more money on King of Hill.
He had to go make more episodes of The Good Family.
Yeah, right.
Propane and propane accessories.
I love King of the Hill. That's a great fantastic show.
That's a great show. All right, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get in some news. We're back. That was Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. No real reason for playing that. We just like the song. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Don't play it backwards.
No, don't play it backwards.
Gets too spooky.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not allowed to test it on guitars at a guitar store either.
No, denied. You know, Fritz the Night Owl had a Wayne Stock the other
Did
night.
He
played both of them. It was like a 6-hour thing where they played both of them, and like every ad that Wayne and Garth had been in, like from the beginning, from SNL all the way up through commercials and stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I wish I was there for that. Oh, and it was at the It was at Grandview.
Oh.
So, yeah. Because he does his stuff through Studio 35. Yeah,
the new Grandview.
The new Grandview, yeah. Anyway, let's get into a little bit of news. First on the block is they are rebooting The Matrix.
And I ask yourselves, why? I love the original movie. It was like one of my favorite action films.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
It was a good
movie. At the time, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, does it hold up? I don't know. I haven't watched it in forever.
Not particularly, because a lot of the technology is based off of the big, bulky, like, tan PCs and, like, floppy disks.
Well, what's the difference between a reboot and a remake?
I don't know. Maybe, like, a percentage of similarity to story?
Updating it, I'm assuming?
They would have to. Either that or the whole thing set in 1995 again. It's a period piece this time.
Fun fact, I have not seen any of the Matrixes.
Oh, really? Well, you're missing out on one third of them.
Yeah. We should do it. No, I haven't seen this.
Starring Samantha.
Yeah, we should. But
whoa.
But yeah, I heard it's not so much a remake of the original movie, but like an alternate story in the same universe
I think something.
It's not going to be about Neo.
Okay, well, that's good at least.
Yeah. I think that is the difference between the reboot and the remake. A remake basically tells the same story with new cast and, you know, updated whatever.
Sure.
A reboot is...
a bad CGI show from the 90s.
It wasn't bad. It was great. I loved that show.
It was great in the 90s when we were all children.
Children, yeah.
Way our children brains couldn't process how bad the polygons were.
Yeah.
Those are some bad polygons.
That and Beast Wars. Oh, my word.
Hey,
I love Beast Wars, too.
I will fight you. Beast Wars was great.
Beast Wars was great. Beast Machines was garbage.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
I don't like Transformers.
Get out. Get out. Seriously, leave. No. You're done.
All right.
Go to jail.
I'm allowed to not like Transformers.
But yeah, but I think that is at the heart, that is the difference between the semantics of reboot and remake. Remake, you're basically getting the same movie, just done differently.
Sure, sure.
Where reboot is similar,
same world.
Characters, but different story told from like a beginning. Like, you know, like all those like the Spider-Man reboots.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, yeah, you have an origin story in Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man, but their stories are different.
Just different enough.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, different villain, different things that happen, different characters, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, and I guess that kind of makes sense because they, in the later Matrix movies, they do allude to the idea that the whole process is cyclical. Like, this thing that Neo is going through and the world is going through happens every...
So often
that the system needs like rewipes, so they kind of implant
rebooted
someone who needs who knows everything. Yeah. I guess
Beauty and the Beast is a remake.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters 2016 is a reboot.
Yeah, yes. That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Which I guess if you look at it in that way, that's probably more like what they're going for. It's the different characters but in the same
vein,
major overarching kind of ideas.
That's probably what they're doing.
I feel a little better about that because I have a hard and fast rule about like straight up reboots where if the original actors are still around and can within a reasonable like if they can reasonably play the same characters that they were before with minimal addition to the plot, changes to the plot, then your reboot doesn't need to happen. Like Carrie Ann Moss and
Keanu Reeves
and Larry Fishburne. Yeah, well, you know, we're buddies. We're pals.
Cowboy Curtis.
Yeah.
He likes to be called.
Yes. Yeah. If they could you could tell the same story. They could still be in the Matrix.
Yeah.
They,
well, I mean, look at all the John Wick movies.
Yeah. Like, all they would have to do is change, instead of a brand new computer analyst who's also a hacker, to a veteran computer analyst who is also a hacker.
Or just John Wick. Just put John Wick.
John Wick.
Just combine John Wick and Johnny Mnemonic, and then boom.
Johnny Wick Mnemonic. Was the working title for the Matrix.
There we go. Yeah. So, okay, but if they do it differently, then, I'm down. I guess.
Although I would like the Wachowskis to be involved.
I was just going to say, they don't seem like they are. Yeah.
My thing is, can we get Lord Elrond, King of the Elves, back?
That would be great. If they have to bring back one character, if they bring back, the Red Skull as Agent Smith. Is it Agent Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agent Smith.
Yeah.
Mr. Anderson.
I used to do that to my buddy Chris all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
He hated it.
I'm sure he did.
He had a good cameo in the Lego Batman, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, he did.
Mr. Smith.
Agent Smith.
Yeah, that's right.
Agent Smith. Doctor.
He did, didn't he?
Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Yeah. No, not Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith was creepy. Yeah. He was.
Yeah, he kind of was. Following around Space Boy.
Yeah.
And his robot.
And his robot. Yeah. Although, that is the highlight of the Lost in Space. Is that a reboot or a remake?
I would say it's a reboot.
That's a reboot.
The only highlight of that movie is that Gary Oldman is Dr. Smith. That's the only good part about that movie.
That was the first DVD my family ever bought.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Hey, I thought the robot looked kind of cool.
Okay. Here is a life hack. This is a life hack. Sam's life hacks.
Oh, man.
If you want to watch that movie and get any kind of enjoyment out of it, instead of watching it as a Matt LeBlanc vehicle movie, watch it as a Joey Tribbiani vehicle movie. The movie is a movie set inside the Friends universe. Seriously, it makes the whole movie make sense. It's purposely bad because Joey Tribbiani's a bad actor. It makes sense.
I haven't seen that movie in so long. I can't even
remember that yellow CGI alien.
Oh, that was bad.
Exists purely to make toys of.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. God, that's a bad movie, though.
I would have liked the robot design if the robot didn't already have an amazing, iconic design to begin with.
Agreed.
True. Yeah. True.
Totally agreed.
But at the same time, though, that original robot design is pretty dated and would look really hokey in their updated, jumpsuit space drama.
Yeah. Another fun fact.
I don't know if you would have looked that out of place.
Another fun fact of that movie, I get the theme song to Lost in Space and the theme song to Powerpuff Girls mixed up in my head.
Really?
Yeah. They both have that da, 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 da.
Oh, I guess they kind of do. Thunderbirds has something like that, too.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
We watched an episode of Lost in Space
Now Powerpuff Girls is stuck in my head.
Uh-huh.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Oh, man.
We watched an episode of Lost in... the first episode of Lost in Space not too long ago. It was not good.
Yeah.
It's funny is it takes place in 1997.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that magical future of 1997.
Hey, yeah. Yeah.
Off topic a little bit, but...
That's all right.
Isn't it kind of crazy, if you go back and look at retrofuturism.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And where they thought we would be. Yeah.
Well, the Jetsons takes place in the far off year of 2002.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did you see the preview for that new Jetsons movie that's coming out?
No.
No. I haven't.
It's Jetsons in the WWE.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard about it.
Sounds awesome. Yeah.
It looks awesomely bad.
I mean, terrible, but it sounds.
Like you see like Undertaker suplexing robo wrestlers and stuff.
Now that's kind of cool.
The wrestling in Flintstones when they did already actually wasn't the worst.
Yeah. Listen, they know WWE, they know what's up.
For better or worse, they know they're hokey.
Yeah.
They're just running with it at this point.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Sometimes with a couple pairs of scissors up a ladder.
That camp WWE show, that was not good.
Yeah, that looked like garbage.
That was real bad.
Yeah, that didn't look great.
Well, that was wrestling talk.
Yeah.
Wrestle time.
Wrestle time with the Wrestle Boys.
We talk about Lucha Underground. It's on Netflix now.
It is great, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Is it just season one or is it season one and two?
It's one and two.
Okay. How far into it are you?
One episode.
Okay.
Exactly one.
Yeah.
You didn't talk about it?
No.
It's super good.
Yeah, it is.
Super good.
It's really fun.
I like watching those muscle boys.
And now you fight for Dario.
They fight for me. Yeah.
Apparently, at some point, he gains legit magic powers. Like, he becomes like an actual supervillain at some point. It just kind of goes off the rails.
Man, I wish I could remember the name of that live-action luchador show from the 90s that was, like, on Fox.
Lucha Lucha?
No. It was live-action. Mucha Lucha was animated.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was like a Batman-esque superhero.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But he was a luchador.
Sexy star. She fights for all girls.
And she loses like all her matches, unfortunately.
Seriously?
She gets screwed over a lot in that season. It's bad. But no, the what's his name? Johnny Mundo and the other guy, Prince Puma are like the main characters of season one. Like they both try to take on Dario. It's kind of great.
It sounds like there needs to be more purple Puma.
Yeah. That's what I said when Prince Puma came out.
And Tiger Millionaire. Yeah. By the way, are you caught up? Because there's been a couple new episodes.
No.
Oh, you hurt my feelings.
I heard there's another wrestling one.
Yeah, that was the latest one. Tiger Philanthropist.
Tiger Philanthropist?
Yes.
The title of the show was Los Luchadores.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty winning logo, too.
Yep. It's a real thing. It was filmed in Vancouver, Canada.
Sounds about right.
It's known for its luchador background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that looks right.
Oh, no.
It looks like garbage.
Yeah, they look like creator wrestlers from a WWE fighting game.
Hey, some of those were great.
Like the Pebble.
Lobo Fuerte. Turbine.
Which translates to wolf fart.
Yes, exactly.
I think, right?
Yeah. It's either that or that's Guy Fieri's newest quesadilla meal, the Lobo Fuerte.
Oh.
All right. So anyway, let's get back on topic a little bit. But no, we were talking about reboots and remakes. So did you hear there's going to be two former Power Rangers in the new Power Rangers movie? Because we can't go a show without talking about Power Rangers.
No.
At least until the movie comes out.
We already did earlier, didn't we? Yeah, you talked about the comic.
I talked about the comic.
So
let's go back to it.
We're double dipping.
We're double dipping. Let's do it.
No. Let's see. Who could it be?
Take a wild guess.
Somebody from Wild Force?
Right.
Rose McIver.
I wish.
No. Ninja Steel.
I will give you a hint. His first initial is J, and the rest of it is Ace and David Frank.
That's right. Constant convention annoyance.
Close friend of the show.
Yeah, close friend of the show. Yes. Professional con attendee, Jason David Frank.
Professional convention guest.
Yes. He is going to make a special guest appearance in the movie, as well as Amy Jo Johnson, who is the original Pink Ranger. Very different reasons for the two of them being in this movie. Amy Jo Johnson, because she is one of the few Rangers that was able to have a very successful acting career post Power Rangers.
I'd say she was in Fringe, I think, wasn't she?
She was in Fringe. She had that show where she was a
Power Ranger.
No, well, it's not a Power Ranger. But no, she most recently had a show where she was like either working for the military or a special ops.
Yeah, because I remember the picture seeing her I thought that was Fringe, though.
Mm-mm, it's not Fringe.
I thought she was some kind of security person in Fringe.
And they put JDF in the movie because
he probably banged.
What else
he was
going to
have a breakdown if they did.
Yeah.
He was probably standing on a high step looking at Saban and go, put me in my movie or I'm going to jump. And then, you know, Austin St. John probably yelled from the background, do a flip.
Covert Affairs.
Oh, crud. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a major character in that.
Yeah, that one about the spy girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer that there's only two cameos
and not
as many of them as they can get.
Yeah.
But I guess the rest of them are too busy working on The Order. Remember
right.
the order?
Oh, yeah. When's that coming?
Never. I think they kind of took the money and ran with that a little bit. Either that or it's one of those where they're just constantly in production, just forever.
Development hell.
Always in development. Yeah. And that was Indiegogo, so those people who paid for their money, that's not coming back. Anyway.
Oh, did you see that that Kickstarter for that Exploding Rabbit game, the Retro Force or whatever?
No. Oh, yeah.
They actually did something.
Yeah, I've been following that because I made the mistake of paying some money for that one.
Was this before or after the debacle that was Mighty No. 9?
Before.
This was before.
Okay.
Before and still occurring.
Okay.
No, they are making a completely different game because they used up all of the money that they got from the Kickstarter to rent a house for a year and didn't do anything.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
And then they canceled the game.
They canceled
and
the game.
Kept everybody's money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because it was already gone.
Yeah, it was already gone. They couldn't give it back.
The perils of crowdfunding.
Yeah. So the deal is the guy is working with another company. He's like not leading the company anymore. He's just a programmer for another game, indie game company. And they've agreed to give free copies of whatever game that they're making currently to the backers of the Exploding Rabbit, the
okay.
Super Retro Squad or whatever they're calling
whatever
it.
Was called.
At least those people get some kind of compensation, I guess.
Yeah, the problem is the game that they're making doesn't look good. Mm. Yeah, it looks like garbage too. So yeah, it's a real bummer.
Hey, at least you're getting something.
Yeah, at least I'm just not out that money.
It's like Mighty No. 9. It's better than nothing.
Oh. I think with Mighty No. 9, I think I would have rather had nothing.
Honestly.
Oh, man. Why is it so perilous to pack back stuff on Kickstarter?
I don't know. I haven't had any crap.
I think it depends
on
what you back, really.
Yeah.
Usually I am really good about kind of watching stuff and making sure that I'm backing
good
things.
Well, here's the thing. Mighty No. 9
looks good.
Just looking at it. Should not have been garbage. They had veteran people working on it. You know, a big name, you know, from the industry working on this brand new IP that was a callback to a classic IP that everyone loves.
I wouldn't feel bad about that because everybody got swindled.
Yeah, like, everyone did.
Yeah, everyone was bamboozled by that one.
I almost even backed it, but I decided Shantae needed my money more.
You made the right decision.
Yeah.
Well, she is the half-genie hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that game did come out, and it's very good.
I need to play the Shantae games. I really want to.
It has great music. Oh, yeah. Like, fantastic soundtrack.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about games, there's a Disney collection or something?
Yeah, Capcom's releasing the Disney Afternoon Collection, which has all the NES games of your favorite Disney Afternoon heroes in it. So, DuckTales 1 and 2,
cool.
Darkwing Duck...
Chip and Dale.
Tailspin, both Chip and Dale's, one of which was, I don't think, was ever released, but all, like, upscaled and stuff, but still the NES games. It's not like that DuckTales they did a while back.
Where they did a total redo.
Yeah, that was really cool, actually.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, that game was on point.
What are they releasing it on? Is it going to be Nintendo, or
no,
is it a...
unfortunately, it's just PC, Xbox, PS4. No word on the Switch, which you'd think would be a gimme, but I don't know.
But at the same time, the Switch did just come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they'll get it eventually.
Like, supposedly Sonic Mania is going to come out on the Switch.
Yeah.
But Sonic Mania should already be out by now, but it's not. It was delayed again.
Yeah, true.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought they just kind of said it was sometime this year.
It was supposed to come out this month.
Huh.
It was actually supposed to come out the same day the Switch did.
This is the first time I've ever heard that.
Breaking news, apparently.
Because then I pre-ordered, and then I canceled it.
Man, that game looks really good.
Yeah,
every time I see a video of Sonic Mania, I'm like, this should not look as good as it does.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about games getting you burned.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, I didn't play a lot of Sonic when I was a kid, and when I look at that stuff, I get nostalgia for it.
Yeah.
It looks that good.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was not a Sonic boy.
Yeah.
I was.
Oh, speaking
mostly
of which,
Sonic 2, though.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you hear that, what's it called? Freedom Planet is getting a sequel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and that is like...
It's the best Sonic game ever made.
Yeah. if Shovel Knight is Mega Man and DuckTales, then Freedom Planet is a Sonic game.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. The only thing with Freedom Planet was I didn't care for the voice acting.
It just sounded like anime.
It sounded like anime, or it sounded like a bunch of devs in a hotel room.
I didn't care about the plot at all.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, it was like somebody's like
OC, do not steal
fan fiction. The plot was real bad, but the game itself is so good that you can ignore
the game plays really well.
Yeah. Ignore the glaringly amateur plot. Well, I feel like I'm being a mean boy. I don't want to be, you know, super negative on it. I mean, it's a fantastic game.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It
just
is.
Just the story and the voice acting left more than to be desired.
Kind of the character design.
Well, yeah. You know what? Let's lean into it. We're the mean boys.
No, I don't want to be freaking like zero punctuation or whatever.
Hey, I like Yahtzee.
I do not anymore. I used to.
He cracks me up.
I used to like him, and now it's just like, oh, you sure are a negative Nancy.
Yeah.
Well, he's a British guy living in Australia. What do you want from him?
Well, I think one thing that we can all agree on is none of us are JonTron.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Do you want to talk about that a minute?
Not really, but let's do it.
Apparently, he just went
Who is JonTron, first off?
JonTron is a YouTube personality.
Former Game Grump.
Former Game Grump. He's kind of a big guy on YouTube.
Kinda.
He's the guy that kind of created that formula where somebody plays a bad game and makes fun of it, and there's video stuff to go with it, not just a Let's Play, but...
He was a founding member of the Normal Boots, network of...
Yeah.
Yeah, which it was all kind of the same thing. It's Completionist and Peanut Butter Gamer and some of those other guys. But
most of those kind of guys are just trying to emulate what JonTron did.
Yeah. John Jafari, we should say, is his name, because I think he's lost that moniker in my eyes. He's lost his mind.
Yeah. He's got what were you about to say?
Yes.
Fun ideas about immigration.
Yeah. Just full on xenophobic racist stuff.
Uh huh.
About, you know, how he believes that certain races are just naturally better than others.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
I saw a funny comment about that where somebody said, you know, looking back on this, I'm glad JonTron left Game Grumps because he got replaced by an amazing Jew.
Well, here's...
why? Especially all of a sudden, why?
He's half Iranian, too.
Yeah.
And Hungarian.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, do you think that is a product of being so... How the internet, as an internet personality, he is so immediately connected to the fan base and people in general, whereas...
Well, I think it comes down to like having like a PR person.
Yeah,
like,
that's...
You don't know what other people are actually thinking, but since I'm assuming he doesn't, because I think they would tell him, let's keep those comments to yourself.
Yeah.
Or after the first time he messed up, maybe don't go on an hour-long...
Don't double debate, down.
Yeah, a debate live stream where you dig yourself a deeper hole.
Yeah.
What if he's not really that way? And it's just some really elaborate, weird PR stunt.
No.
Really?
No.
I mean, I'm not trying to defend him at all.
No, he's been this way for a while, actually.
Really?
There's
talking
been
about those darn SJWs. And...
Yeah. Oh. That's been, yeah.
He did a Breitbart interview.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, this wasn't a big surprise so much.
I guess it is for me because I really didn't follow him that well.
It's a big surprise that it's as bad as it is.
Yeah, like, that's just it. I've never been a huge fan of...
Looking back on it, we should have known when they did that stupid game jam Mountain Dew thing when him and Zoe were having issues.
Zoe Quinn, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of JonTron, and I could never put my finger on what about the guy kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And it's this. This is what has been rubbing me the wrong way.
But you just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
Your spider senses were tingling.
Yeah.
If there was any question on why he left Game Grumps, I think this answers it completely.
This would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know, looking back at Aaron and stuff, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, just imagine if he were to would have continued with Game Grumps and then all of this hit. If he stuck with, it would torpedo their entire channel and network.
Yeah, their brand,
and they're big enough where it would ruin people.
Yeah, because that is their job.
Uh huh.
Well, they're big enough. They do have PR, and that's why you don't really hear anything about personally from them.
Yeah, sure. Because somebody says no, that's a bad idea.
Yeah,
or yeah, let's go to Wendy's. That's a good idea.
Did you hear they finally got back in touch?
Yeah. He got to go to the test kitchen and everything.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's cool. This has been an uncomfortable discussion.
Yeah.
So we've hit our time, actually. let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher. So check us out over there. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.